We love this marriage series, kicking it off today. We hope it's special for you for the next 3 weeks. I'll be speaking out of Colossians chapter 3 today. Colossians 3 is one of the husband's favorites. It's wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Don't panic, ladies, though. We'll qualify that. But we're going to have fun with that today, as well as just talk about our personal relationships overall. So Colossians chapter 3 is not just for marriage, but it's also for the whole church. It's how we interact with each other. So if you're not married, we hope you'll think about it in that respect. We hope you'll think about it in the respect of your close friends. And personal relationships are important all the way across the board. Just to qualify a couple things, the marriage fight night this Friday night is a standalone. So some people are asking me, do we have to attend the Monday night temporary connect group to go to fight night? No, it's a standalone. You can just come, and that's the only thing that you need to do if you want that. It'll be fun. We've advertised it in the newspaper. You can watch for it in the Argus and as well as in the Independent, and we're just going to have fun that night. The Monday nights are the temporary connect groups. The other thing people are asking me is, can I do both? Absolutely. If you're already in a connect group, you're more than welcome to attend the Monday night one as long as they don't conflict, and I think we're just going to have a good time with that. I love raising the twins. We had twin daughters, and when they were teenagers, I would quote close to this verse. So, you know, when they're teenagers, if you're a dad, you just love to tease your kids. And so I would quote verse 20 to them of Colossians chapter 3. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You know, you have to give that voice too. You know, you have to do the voice. And so we sent them to a Christian high school. Marcia taught at the Christian elementary school. And they knew their Bible. And so they would shoot back verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. And so, you know, sometimes you regret sending them to, no, you don't regret sending them. But anyway. So Colossians 3 is really all about relationships in the Christian community, and we're going to read a lot of passages here out of Colossians to give you a feel for what's happening. I know the guys love verse 18, you know, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord, and you can say that with your most holy voice, and you know, that is just wonderful. Now wives, of course, will shoot back. Husbands, right? Do you ladies know it, right? Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. It's interesting. They're both about relationships, and we're going to talk about that. Let's start with Colossians 3. We're not going to have time to break down the whole chapter, but Colossians 3, 1 through 3, is the basis. It sets everything up for what's to follow in chapter 3. So listen closely to what Paul says. Listen to his mindset. So all the way through the book of Colossians, this is called a Christological epistle. It just means Christ-centered. Everything is about Christ in this passage. Listen for the contrast. In Colossians, the contrast is death, dead to sin, alive in Christ. The concept is, let's leave stuff behind that should be left behind in the non-Christian world, and let's move ahead and be transformed by Christ. So that's the theme of Colossians. Listen, see if you can hear that. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. This is good news. In fact, it's the good news, right? When Jesus Christ died upon the cross for our sins, we're able to say, Lord, I put my faith in you as the Son of God. Forgive me, Lord, of everything that I've done wrong. And the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ, gets rid of the guilt, gets rid of the shame, gets rid of the past. And Paul is saying, you know what? Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You died. And this theme of dying will be all the way through Colossians. You're buried with Christ. You're buried with him in baptism. Paul will say it over and over again. In fact, let's go to the practice of it in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. He's speaking to the young church. Remember, he's speaking to the church. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, and I like it because it's past tense. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its in the image of its creator. I love this because Paul is lifting up the church. He's saying, okay, with Christ we can be transformed. We no longer have to live in anger and malice and envy and all this stuff from the past. But Christ transforms us. That's what the book of Colossians is about. Christ changes us. He makes us into a renewed person and puts us into his image, the Son. In fact, let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Now, this is going back to chapter 1, but this is probably my favorite part. You know, it's hard to leave out your favorite part. So listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 about Christ. I don't know if any of you follow me on Facebook, but if you have in the last couple of weeks, I've posted a little thing from Christianity Today. They did a new survey, and it says, are evangelicals, are we really theologically correct? And it turns out that we are not as correct as we think we are. We're really good on the Trinity. We're like 98% good on our theology on the Trinity. But it's interesting that we fail in two places. We fail in the Holy Spirit and we fail in Jesus. Many evangelicals, just because of, I don't know, not listening to sermons, maybe bad teaching. I don't know, maybe bad teaching from the pulpit. But we believe somehow that Christ is a created being. Isn't that fascinating? Bible doesn't say that at all. Listen to what Colossians says. Christ is co-creator. He's the one that has been around just as long as the Father. The Son, in fact, Paul says, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Those last two little statements blow that bad theology out of the water, doesn't it? He has created, all things were created through him and for him. In Colossians, Paul is saying Christ is supreme. In fact, if you look at the little slide, we were looking at a little image, and it's a water droplet. And if you look closely, you'll see what the water droplet is. And basically, is it up on the screen? I'm sorry. Oh, there it is. I can't see it on that way. So you can see all the different names of Christ, and it's just in Colossians, these are the names of Christ. He is deliverer, redeemer. He is co-creator with the Father, not created, co-creator. He is the one, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Paul wants us to understand that, and then it's all part of this transformation experience that he's talking about in the book of Colossians. All right, that was the longest introduction I've ever given, so here we go. Let's move into the sermon. The key verse today is Colossians 3, 12 through 19, and I want you to listen to it closely. The wives and husbands are in there, but it's all a part of this context of transformation. The key verse is probably verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in all your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. It's interesting when you read it in the context, when you read it in terms of personal relationship. You know, it's not about wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Husbands, don't be harsh. It's all about this context of, and I'm going to choose verse 12 this morning, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You realize we have to ask for it, right? I mean, it's there in a way when Christ transforms us. He certainly makes us into a new image. He makes us a new creation. But the world tends to drain us, tends to pull us back toward the world. And that's why Paul is talking to the early church. He's saying, you know what? Leave that stuff behind. Die to that stuff, he says in Colossians. Put it away. And the world still draws upon us. But the awesome thing is, through Christ, we can have victory. Asking for the power of the cross, bearing with each other. Not just being a bear, but bearing with each other, forgiving as the Lord forgave you, overall put on love. All right, the nitty-gritty is right here in this relationship idea. This idea that we can show compassion to each other, kindness to one another, especially in marriage. Marcia and I We're married, and we went to Connecticut. And in Connecticut, we raised the girls for about 5 years. We were there for about 5 years. They were born there. And we actually were in a building program as a church. I was a discipleship pastor there as well, as well as outreach. And we had a building that was right beside the church that needed to come down. It was going to be the entryway to a large structure, $2.8 million building back then. That was very big money. And they were getting rid of a lot of the furniture that was in that house. And they said, okay, come by and make us an offer. Well, I went by. I was kind of in a hurry and walked through. Nothing that I needed, nothing that I wanted. Went to the cellar, kind of a dark place, you know. And I thought, well, I'll never find anything down here. But I like antiques. And over in the corner, there was this dark, dark buffet. And it was just gorgeous in its curves. But it was, you know what varnish does when it gets really old, right? It's as black as tar. I mean, that thing was just as black as tar. And I thought, oh, well, this is not looking good. And there were two drawers missing, you know, and it was just kind of sitting there. But then I saw in the cellar a faint gleam of light on some beveled glass. So the mirror wasn't just a flat mirror in the buffet, but it had a bevel to it. And that's a good key that it might be a nice piece. So I asked the guy, I said, well, you guys said cheap, you know, and I'm cheap. So I said, $10. Let me just take it for $10. And then we argued back and forth for a minute. And he said, oh, just take it. So, just happy to get rid of it. So we hauled it up out of there and put it in the little shed and didn't really do anything with it until we moved to Ohio. Now, in Ohio, Marcia, love her heart. This is a sign of a good wife. She dragged that thing in the backyard, put the chemical strip on it and started taking off that old black darkened varnish. She had an elderly lady in my church. I didn't know she was good at it. And when they were done, do you know what was underneath that? Do you know what tiger oak is? Tiger oak is beautiful. Tiger oak is quarter sawn, and the little particles in it just catch the light just right, and it looks like a yellow glow. I mean, it's not just a plain piece, but when the light hits it, it just kind of glows. It is a gorgeous piece. And then in Southern Ohio, we had a friend that worked at a lumber yard. I actually led him to the Lord, discipled him, and he said, hey, I'll make you a couple drawers from tiger oak. I mean, you know, the Lord kind of takes care of us sometimes. That's just so cool. Well, the neat thing is, we were finishing up, and this is kind of the part of the story I want you to listen to carefully because we're going to use it all the way through the sermon. We were finishing up, and Marcia had worked really hard, and then I started the polyurethane process, and I put like 4 coats on it because, you know, you have kids, you put 4 coats of polyurethane. And so I was really tired, kind of tired of working on it, and the top part, I knew I had to face it, but the top part of the shelf had a piece of veneer that was buckled. It was kind of waved like that. And I thought, well, you know, I've got wood glue. How hard can it be? So I shoved wood glue underneath it and threw a couple heavy books on it, and I thought, done. Can I just say 28 years later, it still has the permanent wave, you know? I really didn't do it right. I was in a hurry. I was rushing, and it was one of those days I thought, oh, yeah, this will do it. And I just pushed the glue under it and put a book on it. And what I should have done was I should have, you know, carefully shoved the glue under, but then what I should have done was I should have clamped it, right? You guys that do furniture, you know what I mean? Should have clamped it with a couple clamps. I should have left it on there for quite a while and just put it under pressure and did it right so that it would hold 28 years later, not have a permanent wave. So, don't be like me. In your relationship, take your time. In your relationship, realize that bonding takes sometimes even years. Sometimes it takes longer than we think to really have a marriage relationship that is bonded together. I know that that's not a real popular statement because we want microwave popcorn. We want everything fast and furious. You want me to give you 2 or 3 clues that you can go home and fix your marriage just like that if it's broken and improve it if it's not. But here's the good news. In Christ, over time, your marriage can become super glued, right? It can become rich. It can become wonderful. I think that as we talk about this morning, Paul would say in this Colossians, and I've been reading Colossians for my devotions for the past couple weeks, and Paul would say like this. He would say, you know what? There comes a place, though, you need to die to yourself. That's what he says a lot in Colossians. You want the whole context. He says, it's painful sometimes. Sometimes we have to admit we're wrong, and we come into marriage. I came into my marriage with selfish desires and saying, boy, I really hope she'll do this, or I hope she'll do, you know, and all of a sudden we realize that's not working. me telling her what to do or me expecting her to. And Paul would say, you know what? At some point, we just have to let Christ do something deep within us, deeper within our desires, so that we can actually start to become more like Christ in his image and have his desires. Now, that's a little general, but we'll talk about that in a second. Colossians 3:8 says this, "But now also put these things out of your life, anger, bad temper, doing or saying things to hurt others." Okay, we could do a lot in this sermon. I'm going to choose one thing, one little thing in verse 12. I'm going to let you look at verse 12 a second, and we're going to talk about it. That one little word, it's kindness, kindness. Kindness is one of those words that I've said this for years, that if we would just do one thing in our marriage to help our marriage, kindness would be my choice. Kindness would be it, in word and in deed. I remember one time we were in southern Ohio, and I just had a long day, and I was really tired, and I came in the house, and I was grumpy. I was like the bear. You know, I was grumping at the kids. I was grumping at my wife. I know you guys never do this. I know that. But I was grumpy. You know, it had been a long day, and I still remember I was in the kitchen, and I was just being a bear. And I remember Hillary, she's my littlest. She looked at me and said, "Why are you so grumpy, Daddy?" You know, and you just think, oh, okay, probably am, if your little kid, you know, finds that you're grumpy. But you know, you apologize to the Lord, and you apologize to your kids, and you move on, right? Don't wallow in it, but just say, you know what, Hillary, I am sorry, Daddy is grumpy tonight, and I shouldn't be. Just give me a little bit of a time, and I'll work it out, but honey, I am sorry, apologize to my wife. What's the point? The point is, you know, even in all this, we're not perfect, right? Sometimes we can be unkind. Sometimes we can just say things that we don't mean, or sometimes that it hurts. But the point is, we can ask for forgiveness and we can move on. Kindness, kindness. I think that the one thing that might lead a wife to submission would be kindness. So one thing that the husbands don't say harsh word would definitely be kindness. Verse 12 says this, our key verse. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." I have a favorite piece of clothing. How many of you have a favorite comfy piece of clothing? You have just you like for sure? For me, you know, and it is Olivet. It's an Olivet hoodie. It's older. It's been through the wash a lot, and it's just comfortable as all get out. I'll put it on, and then I'll just kind of forget it's there. You know, some things you put on, like a wool jacket or something, and it's itchy, and some things you put on, it doesn't fit. You know, maybe that's just me. Doesn't fit anymore, must have shrunk, you know, those kind of things. And but, you know, I put on my Olivet hoodie. It's my go-to, and I'll just pull up that hood if it's cold, and I'll go out in the garage, you know, and I can go out there even in the cool weather. I can sit in my little rocking chair, and I can read. I can do whatever. I love that Olivet hoodie. And I think that kindness is like that. It's so comfortable. Paul would say, wear the comfy clothes. You know, put it on. And in kindness and all these should be so comfortable that we kind of just forget we have it on. I'm hoping that my life will be so full of kindness that my lips will just pour forth kindness to my kids and to the relationships around me. I'm hoping as a pastor that I'll be kind to everyone. My prayer is, Lord, make me kind. And listen, our spouse needs kindness especially. What you say to your spouse, husband or wife, is multiplied 10 times, you realize, right? You can say things to a stranger, it's just passing conversation, but what you say to your husband and your wife, that's the person who loves you dearly and deeply. Multiply it times 10. Kindness, let it go deep within our life. I'd like to talk to you about three different kinds of kindnesses this morning. Okay, I don't see you taking notes, but I'm going to assume that you're going to remember this. Okay, so first one is basic kindness, okay? Basic kindness. This one is just really easy. Concentrate on the positive things they do and say thank you. My wife is an excellent cook. I hate to cook, but she cooks me meals, and she says those magic words, "What would you like tonight?" I mean, that's just awesome. So I make sure I say thank you. I make sure I compliment her. I mean, you know, how many guys? I get eggs every morning with cereal. I mean, that's my favorite, and I get that every morning. How many of you guys can say that? Don't raise your hand. All right, so we want to avoid, you know, the other people, you know, being hurt. But here it is, you know, I want to say thank you to the basic things. It's a basic kindness. The other basic kindness is this. Try to do something they don't like to do. You know, whatever spouse it is. So I like to dust the furniture. Imagine that. I mean, that's just weird. So I like that. I like putting things in order. I like dusting things. I hate to wash dishes. I'll do it, you know, as a kindness, but I just don't like it. I despise it. I don't know why. My dad loved to do dishes. I don't know why. I don't like to do dishes. Marcia does dishes. She likes to do dishes. I think. I'm not going to look over. I think she likes to do dishes. You know, but I make sure I try to put the gas in the car. I mean, I promise keepers. I'd do that like 20 years ago. I try to make sure that the trash is taken out. I try to make sure that, you know, things around the house, especially the outside, is done. I try to show kindness by doing things necessarily she doesn't like to do, and she does the opposite. Basic. But, you know, it really helps. It helps. Second one's a little bit deeper, a deeper kindness. This one is a little bit harder to catch, but listen closely. Speak words of value into your spouse's character. Don't just thank them for what they do, but compliment them on who they are. That was a big thing. I tried to learn that early in my marriage. We had marriage enrichment early on. Marcia and I would attend a small group in Connecticut and also in Kansas City. And this was one of the big things they talked about. Okay, so let's practice for just a second. Try this to your wife. I appreciate the meal you cooked, but I especially appreciate that you take care to cook things that I like. You want me to be happy, and I want you to know I noticed that, and I really appreciate that kind of love in you. See the difference, right? I mean, before we thanked her for the meal, but this time we're thanking her for who she is. Let's try another one to the wife. Okay, thank you for being such a great mother to our children. They may not say it, but I thank you for the laundry, the dishes, all the stuff you do around the house. I know it's tiring, but I see your concern for us every day as a family, and I'm amazed at your dedication to our group. So that'd be something you could say. All right, let's try to the husband. We don't want to leave the guys out. So the wife could say, honey, I know you go to work every day to help us pay the bills. I see a great work ethic in you. Your mom and dad were great workers all their lives, and they certainly passed that on to you. You are amazing, and I really appreciate your work for our family. So you heard the words of value in there, right? Now, either of you could say this. This is a good one. You are a treasure to me. As I look at life, I cannot imagine life without you. Now, listen to this part. You have been beside me through the hard times and through the stressful times, and they were easier because of you. Thank you for being there every time. Words of value, spoken in kindness, solidify and glue a marriage together. I realize that sometimes seasons of stress extend out. I realize it can be days, it can be months, and sometimes can be years, serious illness. But these kind of things, these deeper kindnesses, these expressions of value tremendously help a marriage from either side, wife or husband. Let's talk about the third one, a kind spirit. A kind spirit. This one's a little bit tricky to talk about, but it is important. Praying for change, not preaching for change. Okay, preaching meaning you, not me. So praying for change and not preaching for change. One of the books that really helped me in my marriage and my thinking about marriage was The Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Gary Chapman is a Christian counselor. He's been a counselor for many years, and he has several things in his book that are excellent in terms of illustrations, and this is, let me read a couple of them to you. Sometimes we want to change our spouse, Chapman says, but it's delicate. We need to be praying about things and not preaching about some things. No one likes to be told they are flawed. No one likes to be told, even as a spouse, that they need improvement. And in a relationship and marriage, it's better, he says, to pray and be kind in spirit. All right. Most people in middle age would like to lose weight. I would like to lose weight, but they put a Culver's right here in town. I mean, seriously. So that's not going to happen for a while until I use all my Culver's coupons. So anyway, we know, guys, that ladies are sensitive about their weight. And so can I just tell you, no lady in the world needs a little hint about their weight. Nobody needs that. So basically, this guy said that he knew his wife wanted to lose weight. This is one of the true stories, the illustrations that Chapman shares. He says, but he began praying about it. He didn't talk to her about it. He just been praying about it. He said he prayed about it for her health reasons, for her self-worth reasons. He just wanted to help his wife. He was sincere. One day, she said, honey, I've been thinking about joining a class on how to eat correctly and about how to exercise. What do you think? It's a little bit expensive. And so, you know, a guy could say a lot of stupid stuff at that point, right? But he prayed about it, fortunately, and he prayed about it, and he had been praying about it, and here's what he said. He said, "Of course, I would love for you to have this opportunity for your health. It sounds like you might enjoy it. Sounds like you might make new friends in the process. Don't worry about the cross. We will make it happen. Go ahead and take the class." So kind words, prayerfully spoken, right? Big, big difference in our marriages if we could do kind words, prayerfully spoken. I believe we can listen to the Holy Spirit in whatever the situation is, but especially instead of just shooting off our mouth, we can just say, "Lord, give me wisdom to say, especially in this situation." Let me give you one more. Again, a true story from Gary Chapman. We need to be aware of our spouse's needs. Sometimes their needs go deeper than what they're saying even. And let's talk about the need of having purpose in life. One wife felt unfulfilled. She had a part-time job. She had full-time kids. She was working at the house. But she loved to write, but never seemed to really get anything published. One day, her husband was walking through the house, and he saw a stack of notes on the kitchen table. He picked them up. He began to read and realized it was a nice article, and it was his wife's handwriting. It was an article on Christmas and how to make your house look good at Christmas time and creative ways, creative ideas. So he went into living room. He said, "Honey, I see that you've been writing an article. Tell me about that." He says, "Have you ever turned anything in? Have you ever sent anything to a magazine?" She said, "Oh, yes." She got really excited. She said, "In college, I sent one article." And then her face fell, and she said, "And they rejected me." She said, "And I never sent one in again." He said, "You know, I've been reading this article that you left on the kitchen table. It's wonderful. You are so creative. This is amazing about Christmas time. You are gifted about this." He said, "You have life experiences now that you didn't have all those years ago. Why don't you send it in again? I'm sure that we could find a magazine that would publish something." And sure enough, because of the husband's kind words, because of his kindness toward her and his prayerfulness as he spoke to her, she sent it in and they published that article as well as others to come. Kind words. Kind words. Prayerfully spoken. I think a kind spirit bonds us together with that glue in marriage. I know that not all marriages are perfect. I get that totally. And I get sometimes that our relationships get tattered. I realize that there's hurt and there's cuts and there's bruises and wounds from the past. And I don't say this lightly, but I believe that Christ can heal marriages. I really do. I believe that he can be the one. I believe it's painful many times. I believe a lot of times we have to do what Paul says in the other parts of Colossians. We have to surrender ourselves. We have to say, "You know what? It's not all about me. But Lord, help me to make it about you, first of all, and help me to make it about my spouse, second of all. Lord, I do want to surrender myself. I do want to be baptized into death with Jesus," as Paul says. I want, Lord, your will in my life. And I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Christ can help marriages. We had one marriage in Southern Ohio, and never tell names ever, but it was on the way for breaking up. And they said, "You know what, we just don't know what to do, Pastor. We need help." And so, you know, I was young and idealistic, but I was so far out of my depth. I said, "You know, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this." And we would pray together, and I met with them just two or three times, that's about all the counseling I'm trained to do is two or three times. But, you know, interesting, praying about it and following the Holy Spirit gave them a book called, I think it was Healthy Relationships. And she would come back a year later, and she would say, "Because you prayed with us, because you started us off right, we read that book together." And she said, "Believe it or not, that book saved our marriage." And that book was all about Christ. It was all about giving each other preference and this kindness idea. And you know, I just believe Christ can heal. Christ can reconcile. Christ can. It's just all there is to it. Now, I know that some marriages are in difficult straits. We would, you know, ask you to consider professional counseling and Christian counseling. And we keep a list at the office, if you ever need that, of Christian counselors in Flint and Lansing and in this area. But today, please understand, Christ can heal. If you're even going through just a smaller difficulty, a season of life, a little difficult time in your marriage, and sometimes seasons can be, I realize, a little bit longer, weeks, but God can be there. Christ can be there. He is the glue. When we just turn our lives into him and over to him, he is the glue. He is the transformer. Marcia and I have had tragedy in our extended families a lot. It's just amazing. I know many of you have stories as well. We have tragedy within our immediate family, but with sicknesses and things like that. But can I just tell you this, and this is the heart of the sermon. For me, this makes a lot of sense. If in those tragedy times, if Marcia and I just kind of pushed each other away and said, well, you know, things will get better eventually, and we just took the fate approach, you know, it's all going to work out in the end, I don't think our marriage would be as strong as what we did do. And that is, when tough times came, we used the clamp, right? We used the pressure. We didn't just throw a book on it and walk away. But we came together. And I love the fact that my wife prays over me and prays for me. And I pray over her and I pray for her. We share the pain, whatever we're going through. We talk about it and we share it. We support each other. And then we continue to talk about it and say, how are you doing about it today? How are you doing this week? That's the glue, right? That's the glue. In Christ, we love each other. We're kind to each other. And I'm doing my best as a husband. I'm not always perfect. Trust me, I'm not always perfect. But I say, I'm sorry. I love you. And we move on, right? And over time, 36 years now, God has bonded us together. I give him all the glory. I give him all the praise. That's what God wants. He wants us to obey the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be in Christ. He wants us to be kind to each other and just hang in there with him as the glue. Life has a lot of ways of bringing pressure to our marriage, but Christ is the one that's always the glue. If you were here last week, it's kind of that Red Sea thing, right? The Red Sea moment that we're up against the dead end of the Red Sea. Sometimes we just have to wait. You know, it's not the Charleston Heston raising the rod and the sea splits. If you read the scripture in Exodus 14, the wind started to blow and it took all night long. It took time. It took time for the miracle. And it takes time sometimes in our relationship. But as long as we're focused on Jesus Christ, we can face the water and feel the wind and watch God's Spirit move within our hearts. My prayer for you is that you will have a tiger oak glow at the end of this marriage series. That you will be able to say, you know what, Christ scraped away a lot of the dark stuff, and I just believe that he's done something special for me even today. We're going to close with a word of prayer, and I'd like to have you stand with me, if you will. And David is going to come. We're just going to sing the Cares Chorus just for twice through, and we'd like to open the altar for you. I realize that, again, life stresses. It could be something simple as just what I did with Marcia being grumpy in the kitchen that one time, but just having to apologize to my child, apologizing to my wife. There might be something within your character, within your personality. You just say, Lord, I see that. You showed me something today through the scripture and through your word. If there's something you'd like to lay at the altar today and just say, Lord, I need you to transform me today, just in that one area. Christ is here. The Holy Spirit is here, and change is possible because Christ can transform us at the foot of the cross. The altar is open for just a moment, then we'll have our benediction as we close. David.
I cast all my cares upon you.
Father, we're so thankful for our marriages, our relationships. We're so grateful that you, Christ, are the glue that holds them all together. We do want to do exactly what you command us to do in Colossians. We want to show kindness to our spouse and to those around us. We love, Lord, the fact that you are the glue and that this verses are just reminders that you are the one that can provide the healing and the grace that we need every single day. We know seasons of life sometimes are long. We know sometimes there's tiredness and there's pain. We know that there's things that happen. We're taking care of elderly parents. There's different things that can create stress. But Lord, we believe again that we can commit to you. And as we commit to you each day, we can commit to our spouse. And we can have this wonderful transformation knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Give us that glowing tiger oak experience, Lord, in our relationships. And we'll give you the praise in your name. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And may you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.